Hello, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and piggyback right off of that one. This outbreak is going to seem quite similar to the one you just heard about, just more fun for us. So this is I'm going to talk about Tenacious Thompson, a Salmonella Thompson outbreak, or multiple outbreaks, that occurred in Georgia last year in 2016. So I'm going to talk a teeny bit of background about Salmonella in Georgia, then run through both outbreaks, one and two, and get straight into the challenges that we encountered and then the novel mitigation strategies we employed to get through this and beyond, hopefully. So in Georgia, we have a lot of salmonella, and it's our most common notifiable enteric disease, about 2,500 cases a year. Most of our cases are in those late summer months, and our top four serotypes of Javiana, Newport, Enteritidis, and Typhimurium comprise almost half of all of our cases. Last year, in 2016, it was 48%. On the other end of the spectrum, Salmonella Thompson is not nearly as common. We have a median about 8 cases. That was before last year. So we just don't see it as much. So when we heard on April 19th of last year from our state public health lab that they had isolated 12 Thompsons in the previous few weeks, it was a surprise, and it led us very swiftly to a cluster investigation. We started out using the National Hypothesis Generating Questionnaire, and on our cases. Our cases were majority residents of Cobb County, which is a metro Atlanta county in Georgia. They were mostly adult and female. And within 2 days, 5 of the 6 cases that we had interviewed had reported Restaurant A, and we immediately stopped using that very, very long, painful questionnaire and moved on to a restaurant questionnaire, which included all of the restaurants reported by any of our cases, in addition to several restaurants in the immediate vicinity. The following week, Environmental Health visited the restaurant and performed environmental assessment, and during which they found multiple signs of potential cross-contamination, including things like lettuce in the meat sink and things being either defrosted or at incorrect temperatures and procedures. I do recall like an octopus just sitting in a bucket somewhere or something. And it's just a very small kitchen that was very, it had a lot of opportunities for cross-contamination. So our good old friend Restaurant A is a local Greek restaurant in Cobb County, Georgia. They do most of their business during a weekday lunch hour, and they had no known historic complaints in Cobb County. So moving right along, the following week, we were working a lot, and we were interviewing our cases. We found out that the first 9 isolates to be pulsed all matched the same PFGE pattern, which is JP6X01.0002, or just pattern 2, and we were looking into our epi study options. Once we had 9 interviewed Cobb County residents who reported Restaurant A, we felt really confident we had a source. But, you know, statistics are a lot better than feelings, and so we just went ahead with a case control study and included those 9 cases in Cobb County and compared them to random Cobb County residents who had not been ill. We used our restaurant questionnaire that we had been using on our cases on those controls as well, and the results were quite compelling, with all of our cases reporting Restaurant A and 0 of our controls. We did not close the restaurant at this point. You might be thinking, well, of course, you would close the restaurant at this point. Once you see the epi curve, you may understand a little bit more. These cases actually had occurred, you know, like a month before. So I will get into that in a minute. But we did close it for 1 day that next Monday to do a full training with local epi and environmental health there, with all of their employees, all of the management, everyone there, to discuss everything that we possibly could think of. They were required to submit a risk control plan, and they did hire a private consultant to stay on site for 1 week. We did also initiate cohort studies that were based off of cases who we had interviewed in the process of just case finding. And then we moved on. So the next week we sampled in the environmental. We did environmental sampling at the facility. We collected employee stool specimens from every employee there because we were still not coming up with a specific sort of specific food item that we were pointing to. So we wanted to see maybe it's in the employees. And we completed those two cohort studies with no significant findings. The next week, all our environmental samples came back negative. It was a couple weeks since anything had happened, so it wasn't too shocking. But then three of our 12 employees ended up being positive for Salmonella Thompson, and they were excluded, pending two negative cultures. The risk control plan the environmental health found was not being implemented. A lot of things were implicated. was not being implemented, and they closed the facility for a day until they could reinspect and determine that they were actually doing what they were supposed to be doing. So here's our epi curve, and you'll notice that we found out about it much later than when it actually occurred. And so that is one of the main reasons we didn't run in with snatching permits off the wall as soon as we determined by a case control study that we implicated the facility. You'll also notice that after the day when we closed for a full training, we had no more meal dates. So we felt pretty confident that, you know, we had implemented all these things. The restaurant was really taking it upon themselves to mitigate and eliminate the potentials for cross-contamination by putting in new prep surfaces, dividing up their prep surfaces between veggies and meats and things like that. And so we were really hopeful that, you know, it was over. In the end, there were 51 cases. Confirmed and probable are just as you might imagine, confirmed or lab confirmed, and matching the PFG pattern with the epi link to the restaurant, and probable are just epi linked. 11 hospitalized, 0 deaths, mostly evenly divided among between the genders, and mostly adults. So what was it? I have no idea. No idea. Was it everything? Probably. I don't know. luckily, or unluckily, as you might, depending on your perspective, we had a chance to do it all over again. So, after a blissful summer without Salmonella Thompson, October came around, and Cobb County fielded a complaint call during which an ill person reported eating at Restaurant A with 5 of her closest friends, and half of them became ill. One of them went to the ER over the weekend and was positive for Salmonella. The next day, we closed the restaurant, and we provided stool kits to all of the employees immediately. We also grabbed some food, that week, among all of our surveillance activities, finding more cases, we found several cases that worked at two local offices and submitted an electronic restaurant survey that was very similar to our Outbreak 1 restaurant survey. All the restaurants that any cases reported, in addition to some others geographically located close by, to see if we could get some more data points. The next week, we submitted all those employee environmental samples, not all the food, but we took more swabs, and submitted all those to our state public health lab. Got back 8 of 13 positive Salmonella Thompson employees, excluded them, which wasn't that hard because the restaurant was still closed, retested them and required 2 negative cultures again. We got back our environmental samples the next week. Our local EH was there the entire time. I'm focusing more on the epi since most of us are epi-driven, but our environmental health was really there the entire time. And they were kind of working with the facility, working on them, developing new standard operating procedures for everything in the facility, pretty much, new HACCP plans. The facility decided to hire a biohazard company to clean it up. We ended up testing all of our produce samples, thinking that Greek food, like quick Greek fat, you know, lunch food is gyros, salads, things like that. Everything has lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, tzatziki, and some kind of meat on it, pretty much. It's just like Mexican outbreaks, but just Greek. So it was just as terrible and frustrating and miserable. So we were like, maybe it's the produce, right? Well, they were all negative. even the homemade tzatziki sauce, which we had high hopes for. Anyway, we kept going. After 3 weeks of closure, the restaurant reopened. They did submit standard operating procedures for most of their meat prep, their veggie prep, and then a new HACCP plan. They had that biohazard company in and cleaning, and they kind of had them on retainer. They were coming regularly over the next few months as well. We actually conducted an employee cohort study. We were kind of coming to like our wit's end. We had nothing else to do, so we're like, 8 of 13, goodness, like there has to be something here. We interviewed them, each of the employees, with kind of an ingredient level questionnaire, being like, did you eat, not just like, did you eat a gyro, but did you eat chicken, did you eat beef, did you eat lettuce, did you eat pepperoncini, did you eat, I mean, every single thing, and you know, the dressing that goes on the salad, and came up with nothing. Then we had a Halloween miracle, and I epidemiologically implicated chicken. It was not pretty. The data were not perfect. I included all of the confirmed cases, all of the probable cases, and then compared them to all of the well meal companions, including those well people who we got out of our office, electronic survey, which mirrored. It was all the same survey, but. They were well meal companions because they would all order food together and then eat in the office, so stretched the definitions a little bit, but did get it. So right as soon as we got that, we went back to our lab and we were like, hey, remember those 3 chicken samples we grabbed from the restaurant? Do you still have them? And they begrudgingly said yes, and then we said, well, how about let's test them? Turns out one of the raw chicken samples was positive for our outbreak strain of Salmonella Thompson. It was not straight from the Cisco box. It was prepared as in cut and marinated in the facility. So take that for what you will. Here is our epi curve for this outbreak. It's much tighter, you'll notice, and I do attribute that to our quick closure of the restaurant. And but still, plenty of cases. 47 cases, 6 hospitalized, 0 deaths. A few more females in this one, but again, mostly adults. So then, our friends at PulseNet helped us out a lot by performing high-quality SNP analysis on these isolates. So this is kind of a mess. So let me walk through it real quick. Pattern 1 is actually outbreak 2, and it is in blue. So that's pattern 2, which is outbreak 1, in green. This is how this goes. then the cases in red boxes are all out-of-state isolates that they put in for comparison. You can see that there is one blue guy who actually was epi-linked more to the green guys. Turns out she was positive for over a 3-month period, multiple times. This isolate that's included was actually about a month and a half into her positivity, so maybe that impacted her testing a little bit. That yellow one and then the red boxed one right above it were both not epi-linked. The yellow one is a different PFG pattern, was not epi-linked. And the red box right above it is a Minnesota case that did not come to Georgia and eat Greek food in Cobb County. I do not know why he's there. So getting on to it, after the second outbreak, we were determined never to ever deal with this ever again. And so Environmental Health ended up going out there every single week for 4 months. After that, twice a week. For 2 more months, after ongoing, until we've been done with this for a year, we're going every single month. And amazingly enough, this restaurant still has issues pretty much every time we go. We made those Salmonella positive employees. We kind of treated them like carriers and ended up testing them once a month for 3 months after their last positive specimen until they were totally negative. Some other complicated findings. We had those 2 different PFG patterns. They were very similar. They're only off by 1 band. We had those 2 outbreaks highly related by whole genome sequencing. They're 0 to 7 SNPs apart, even though they were in 2 clades. They're highly related. We had multiple cases positive for many months. We had employees positive in both outbreaks. So what could it be? Colonizations, reinfections, persistent environmental presence, something else, all of the above? I have no idea. how to prevent round three, we definitely added some tools to our proverbial toolbox. We're more likely to request those follow-ups by environmental health to occur much more often, to request food worker testing in the first place and to request it over and over again, and to do prolonged environmental testing. We did that actually once a month for 3 months after the event, after the second event. So that's how we felt, all of us, at the state, at the locals, in environmental health, at the lab, everywhere. But I'm happy to take questions.
Questions for our presenter?
If you go ahead and come up to the microphone, they
pre-record them. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to preface this with I'm not an environmental health person, because like my first instinct would be shut them down and that's it. But there was a lot of time and, you know, effort that's gone into this one eating establishment. I mean, is there a point where you know, it's time to tell them you need to find a new occupation, like you're done?
So I think that epi and environmental health have different perspectives on this, and I think that in epidemiology we reached that conclusion much, I mean, we've been there for a while. However, we do not license, and we do not permit them. We do not get the fees every year, and we don't have control over it in epi. In environmental health, they're much more likely to work with the facility. You know, their job is to protect the public's health, but they also feel that they're there to serve the community and make sure that they have places to eat. So I understand your question. I yeah.
After all that time, how is the relationship with the owner?
Oh, well, that's always been fun. he's interesting. I've being at this state, I am a bit removed from it. Our locals will have a lot more colorful things to say about him. It's been interesting from the beginning. It was never a perfect relationship. And I mean, they continue to let us in. They don't really have a choice. And they continue to say that they're working on things. However, as I mentioned, we continue to go in and witness violations and problems. So take that for what you will.
Any other questions for our speaker? Oh, we do have one more.
John's already heard this once. He can't get enough.
I'll just say that, just a comment. I think that not only was Thompson tenacious, you guys were pretty tenacious too, to continue the investigation and all the various avenues that you took. I'm just curious, you may have said this, Hope, but how much did the media get involved in, you know, so
shockingly, none at all. We've all had outbreaks where you're like, one person got sick and then every news media is jumping down your throat. This one, I'm like, 100 people got sick in a year and we had not one media request.
Did you think about calling the media?
I don't know if I can say that officially. of course not. Yeah, it was very frustrating.